The image of Christ on the shroud is precious, but the image is nothing compared to the real presence of Jesus Christ on our altar. That is infinitely more precious. The real presence is Catholicity. It's the Mass that matters. But one may ask, how is the real presence faring today? Have you heard Catholics, particularly young Catholics, say, I don't get anything out of the Mass. The Mass doesn't do anything for me. I can't imagine anything more boring than the Mass. Well, we can't blame the young people, not as much as some so-called theologians in high places who are leading the attack on the real presence. If I may borrow the words of the publication Christian Order, it is hardly surprising that it is now the tendency for Catholic teenagers to lapse as soon as they leave school. According to the newsletter of the Catholic Priests Association of England, there are priests over there who dump into the dustbin unconsumed consecrated particles or scatter the particles to the birds to eat. According to the priest's newsletter, all over the country, revolting desecrations of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist are taking place. You see, the idea is spreading that the Eucharist is only a symbol. Transubstantiation is disputed, even among some clerics and theologians. 100 years ago, Cardinal Newman foretold a coming infidelity, an infidelity so great, he said, that it would have made even stout-hearted St. Athanasius dizzy. And Newman foretold that the special peril of that coming time would be the spread of that plague of infidelity. I'm pretty sure that Cardinal Newman's foreseeing eye was on the 20th century. And who can doubt that infidelity is spreading like a plague? But as we notice that many Catholics are going cold on the real presence, let's notice that the Satanists are not. The Satanists believe absolutely that Jesus Christ is bodily present, not as some sort of a symbol, but bodily present in a Catholic consecrated host. And they'll pay you good money for a Catholic host so that they can desecrate Christ bodily in black masses. So what is the real presence? The description by a schoolboy is hard to beat. The real presence, he said. You look at a crucifix and you see Christ, but he's not there. You look at the host and you don't see Christ, but he is there. Theology in a nutshell. The crucifix is a symbol. The consecrated host is not a symbol. The schoolboy theologian saw clearly the great truth around which some leading intellects are turning mental somersaults. The truth of transubstantiation, the changing of the substance of bread and wine into Christ's actual body, though the appearances of bread and wine do not change. Over the centuries, many intellects have tried to evade that word, transubstantiation, to manipulate it into something less, impanation, transpinalization, and the popular one of today, transignification. All of them denoting no change. There's a current Protestant joke which goes something like this. In the old days, nothing ever changed in the Catholic Church except the bread and wine. Only the bread and wine. But now, everything's changing in the Catholic Church except the bread and wine. Well, it's good for a laugh, but it's wrong. Nothing of pure Catholic faith is changing. And definitely, according to Pope and Magisterium, the bread and wine still change into Christ's living body. To be a Catholic, one has to accept transubstantiation, change of the substance, while the accidents or appearances remain unchanged. A Catholic must believe transubstantiation completely. Such, then, is the awful power of a priest, so great that the human mind can't comprehend it and cannot accept it without the gift of faith. God-given faith. But God, knowing human frailty, has given us some miracles to prop up our fragile faith. First, we look at the continuing miracle of the sacred hosts of Siena, These are the miraculous hosts on display. On August the 14th, 1730, 247 years ago, the people of Siena were attending a procession in honor of Our Lady's Assumption. Thieves entered the empty church of St. Francis, and they stole a large ciborium full of consecrated hosts. The people of Siena were shocked when they discovered the outrage. They prayed to God to help them recover the sacred hosts, and their prayers were heard. Within 3 days, a choir boy found the hosts dumped in a poor box in another church nearby. The Archbishop cleaned the hosts and counted them, and there were 351. They were brought back with great solemnity to the Church of St. Francis. And the people of Siena started to come, in a steady stream, to the church to adore them. The people came and came and never seemed to stop coming, so that the priests had no opportunity to consume the hosts. They couldn't interrupt the stream of adorers who came day after day. Time passed, and it was noticed that the hosts showed no signs of deteriorating. They should have deteriorated. Ordinary bread must moulder and disintegrate in a short time. But these hosts, time neither blighted them nor corrupted them. They remained immaculate in their original freshness. They were defying the natural laws of bread and of time. And they've continued to defy the natural laws for almost 250 years, and they're perfectly preserved today. Over the years, some of them were received in communion. Of the original 351 hosts, there now remain 223, preserved and displayed as seen here. And we may note a final touch of the perverseness of man. The church was again robbed as recently as 1951, and the Siena hosts were found scattered on the altar. But they were as fresh as if they'd been consecrated 2 minutes before instead of 2.5 centuries before. Now we turn to another ancient but continuing miracle. This is Oviedo Cathedral. In this cathedral, there's preserved and venerated a small piece of linen cloth. It's over 500 years old. It's venerated because it's stained with drops of blood, which must be the blood of Jesus Christ. Over 500 years ago, a priest of Bohemia, Peter of Prague, had begun self-questioning about the real presence. Could it be true? Could Jesus really be in his hands at the moment of consecration? Well, this is the piece of blood-stained linen that answered the doubting Peter. One day, after Peter of Prague had said the words of consecration, and he was breaking the host, he was startled to see drops of blood coming from the host. Blood oozed from the broken host and dripped onto the corporal, the small square piece of linen on which the host and the chalice are placed. We can be sure that Peter of Prague had no more doubts. But the miracle wasn't for him alone. It was for all the honest doubters of all the world. After the miracle, this blood-stained corporal was taken to the cathedral, where it's been preserved and honored ever since. And one of the results of this miracle of the Eucharist was the Pope's commissioning of St. Thomas Aquinas to write the Mass of the Body of Christ, the Mass of Corpus Christi. Finally, we look at the miracle of Lanciano. In this church of St. Francis in Italy are exposed actual human flesh and blood. We've come to the most dramatic of the miracles of the Eucharist. It happened over 12 centuries ago, and it's still with us. Back in the 8th century, a Basilian monk in the Italian town of Lanciano was having those doubts. Is it only bread and wine? Or is it Christ himself? Is it? Is it? And the answer he received is the greatest of Eucharistic miracles. He pronounced the words of consecration, and then the consecrated host turned to flesh, and the consecrated wine in the chalice formed itself into 5 clots of blood, bright red blood. Not quite all of the host became flesh. A small portion in the center retained the appearance of bread. with the flesh encircling it. That flesh and that blood have remained incorrupt through all those centuries to our day. And this is the host flesh, as you can see it today, preserved, exposed and venerated in a silver monstrance. And it's notable that the centre, which retained the appearance of bread, disintegrated, just as a consecrated host would be expected to disintegrate in time. Our teaching is that Christ remains present in a consecrated host so long as the accidents, that is, the appearances of bread, remain. When the appearance of bread is gone, the real presence ceases. The centre, which retained the appearance of bread, disintegrated. So what remains today in this monstrance is the flesh, with an empty space in the centre.
The drops of blood are still preserved and exposed in this crystal chalice, and the chalice is fixed to the base of the monstrance, which contains the flesh. Through the centuries, there have been four official investigations of the flesh and the blood, and each time the miracle was confirmed. A very thorough investigation took place a few years ago under orders from the Holy See. Renowned medical researchmen were selected from three Italian universities and the Arezzo General Hospital. And these researchers made the most modern tests of medical science. In 1971, they made their report. One, the flesh is real flesh, and the blood is real blood of the human species. Two, the flesh is the same blood group as the blood. Three, the flesh is cardiac muscular tissue, that is, flesh of the heart. So I dare say a Catholic can say, there is the Sacred Heart, and there is the precious blood that redeemed me. The other findings dealt with proteins and elements in the blood. The research leader, Professor Linoli, stated, I quote, "The hypothesis of a forgery in the past is entirely without foundation." And he gave detailed medical reasons which ruled out any possibility of forgery. So modern science has taken an ancient miracle and made it intensely relevant for our modern times to help us grasp something of the glory behind the ordinary. We've seen a priest at Mass so often that there's danger that the ordinary remains just ordinary because we see with only human eyes. But when he pronounces the words, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood," what if just once we were permitted to see with spiritual eyes? The ordinary altar would be flooded with brilliance. We'd be dazzled by a light that the human eye could not look upon, and inspired by angels attendant on their Lord. Because that is how the altar must be in the eye of God at the climax of the Mass, and we can't see it. Somehow, each altar at that climax becomes the center of the universe and even a part of heaven, as the God-man offers himself to God himself. Truly, it is still the Mass that matters.